Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shipper, Brad Dreyer, Dina Orlando. How you doing today, Brad?
Doing great, Scott. How you doing
today, Dina? How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Cool. The Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat Makers, a tech tool pro for the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. DVD XDV if you have cool software. That actually, Al Gore's new movie used this.
No, that was HDV, XDV.
Well, same thing, same company. Check them out. Cool software to actually pull content off a DVD, or if you have an HDV camera and you want to bring this HDV long up MPEG into some other editing software.
And then make it out of feature film.
There you go. Check it out at DVDXDV.com or HDVXDV.com or wherever.
Yeah,
one of the two will get you to the same place.
Oh, yes.
Cool stuff there. MCE Technologies, the place to get an upgrade for your Macintosh. You want a new MacBook, MacBook Pro, memory, hard drives, super drives, you name it. They got all, even iPods. Check them out at mcetech.com. And our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine at popphoto.com, American Photo at americanphoto.com, Creative Pro, the place for creative professionals at creativepro.com, the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less, at, of course, printingforless.com, and our buddies over there at the Digital Production Buzz, Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister, at thedigitalproductionbuzz.com. Cool stuff?
Very cool stuff.
Yeah, we have a pretty cool show line today. It's a beautiful day here in San Francisco.
Oh, yes. The weather's back, and we are just loving it. We're out of the rain. We're out of the cold weather, and we're getting a little reprieve where the fog hits, and it just freezes in San Francisco. It gets really cold.
I love it. What did Mark Twain say?
The coldest winter he ever spent was the summer in San Francisco.
There we go. So that's cool stuff. We had cool stuff going on this week with Apple and, a brand new recycling program going down. They're going to actually take back your old computer, even your heathen box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, clean up the environment.
Are they really going to recycle it or just ship it off to India and let them just...
Oh, who knows? It's out of your hands.
I guess it's good because you didn't throw it in your trash can. And
yeah, there's some really bad stuff in computers, and you do want to dispose of them properly so that it doesn't wind up in somebody's drinking water somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Bad. Nobody wants to drink an Intel chip.
Nobody wants to drink an Intel chip. It'll get you sick.
Oh, it must be the stuff on the hard drive. It's the media on the magnetic media, the heathen box.
You know,
who wants to drink Windows?
That's right.
Oh, dude.
Just make all those viruses just spilling out into the water and killing an entire population. Yeah, that's right. Don't let that hard drive spill out.
No. Well, we got a cool show lineup today. Later on here, we're going to have Philip Hodges doing the digital production news of the week, talking about post-production, distribution, all kinds of great stuff there. We're going to have Andy Shallot on doing the Mac design out of the box tip. I think Andy's coming on. He might have gone AWOL, but we'll see.
Yeah.
You never know with Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a new Porsche Boxer convertible.
He's probably just enjoying the great weather. He's just cruising up the Pacific Coast Highway.
He's down there and down PCH in Southern California, just cruising around, you know.
Yeah, he's got the top down.
Living with the gracious folk. Yep. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. That's a good ride.
Yeah, we're going to have a little Sammy Levin on. Cool Mac picks.
Yes.
So Sam's going to come on and talk about some cool new Mac products this week. The brand new Inside Mac Daily Show with our new host and executive producer, Dean Orlando. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to have Neil Tichton on, the publisher of Mac Tech Magazine, talking about all cool geek things about the Mac. They got some stuff they're doing with Microsoft, the Mac Business Unit, all kinds of cool things going on with Mac Tech Magazine, and all kinds of cool things. So you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. You can find out more information at www.insidemacradio.com. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac. Get on live now at 800-490-0058.
Or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat Makers, a Tech Tool Pro 4, and the very cool hardware emergency save your bottom behind device, Protégé. FireWire drive, 1 gigabyte, stick it in the side of your Macintosh, in the front and the back, no matter what kind it is. Boot off this gig, fix your hard drive, dude, on the run. Cool stuff. Check them out, micromat.com. Right now, we're with Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister. How are we doing, Philip?
I'm doing great, and I'm really happy to say that I've actually got something of my own to announce this week.
Really?
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Tell us.
Intelligent Assistance, my day job, when I'm not Buzzmeister, have released a fully automated podcast system for broadcasters. This is for like a TV station or a college station or a church or something. You've got a regular event or events during the week that you want to automatically capture from the studio feed, remove any commercials that might be there that you don't have copyright for, encode it, upload it, and publish it without any human intervention, and it's all based on a Macintosh.
Oh, that's really cool. Wow.
So tell us how this works.
You set it up. It comes with a complete turnkey package. We'll sell, you know, installed with the Mac of your choice, depending on what sort of input you want. If you just want DV input, composite or S-Video, we do that with like a Canopus adapter. If you want broadcast stuff, we'll go with a Kona or a Decklink card and a G5. But what we do is we just automatically capture whatever the time is. You know, if it's a 6 o'clock to 6:30 news, then we capture 6 o'clock to 6:30. We'll process it optionally to take the commercial breaks out so that because often the commercials are a different copyright for podcasting than they would be for broadcast. So we take the commercials out, then we encode it, then we upload it, and we just automatically, when it goes to, is uploaded, it's automatically published, all using AppleScript links between our applications to get this all done.
Very cool stuff there. Wow. I love that. That's great.
Nice.
This will be good for, like you said, smaller stations, anybody that's putting out content that's on a live basis. They want to turn around and automate this whole process.
Yep, your church has got, you know, your Sunday morning services, one after the other, are automatically encoded and uploaded and podcasted to the congregation that can't be there. It'll work with radio too, but, you know, we're kind of overkill for just radio.
Yeah, but that's great stuff. Very cool. Where do people find out more information about this?
That would be at intelligentassistance.com, and there's a link right off the homepage.
Ah, lovely. Cool stuff there. What else is happening in the world of post, pre, and distribution?
Well, if you haven't had enough HVX 200, that's the P2-based camera from Panasonic, you can now get a guidebook to the camera that Panasonic have published. So you can go to, well, the easiest way to get it would be to go to os10faq.com, scroll down to the Buzz News, and click on the free guidebook and HVX 200 link and find the article there, because there's a link straight to the download page. But it's 68 pages that describes the main features and functionalities of the camera. A lot more depth than you get on the sales brochure, and a lot less of the sales pitch. Of course, they do have a slight bias to say that their system is the best, but you'd expect that. But they do talk a lot more in depth about that, and that's, I mean, I think that's a good thing. And if you're thinking about buying one of these affordable HD cameras, then you know, the HVX 200 is definitely a choice. I still have, well, you know, concerns over the workflow for some applications, but there's a lot of places where the P2 workflow will work very well.
I think it works cool. Plus, you know, I just love the thought of the camera is even not even HD, but shooting, you know, 4:3 SD in DVC Pro 50.
Yep.
422 yep. Color space. Mm-hmm. You know, for the price, it's a cool camera.
Yeah, yeah. I think for standard def, you can't go wrong. I mean, the sensor I don't think is high enough to really put out a good HD image, but I think for standard def, it's perfect.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's great. Good lens, everything.
Yep.
You can't go wrong.
And once you've got all this footage to, you need to organize it some way. And Squarebox Systems have released Cat DV. It's a media asset database and professional level logging tool, which is not expensive. Well, it's $275, but you can spend a lot more than that on a professional logging tool. New features in this is a better integration with Final Cut Pro, which is always a good thing. And you can export Final Cut Pro XML file, so you can take the clip logging information out of your logging application and take it straight into Final Cut Pro as a bin structure or even as a sequence structure.
Philip, why would you actually want a third-party program for doing logging and storing this stuff and categorizing it?
Well, so that, I mean, Final Cut would categorize stuff and log it into a project, but often you want to log material outside of the project so that it's available across projects over time. So you can go to one database and search for all of your media assets. Whereas in Final Cut, it would be inside Final Cut. Plus, of course, you know, $275 is a lot cheaper than a seat of Final Cut Studio at $12.99.
True. So I guess you could use one machine as, like you said, a seat for log and capture, database, knowing what tape's got what on it, sitting over there in the rack.
Yeah, I actually did see this. I think they demoed this product down at LA Final Cut Pro Users Group, and one of the nice things is it sort of fits into a giant database so that you can retrieve and work with lots and lots of, you know, a huge variety of material. And you know, something like Final Cut just isn't set up well for that type of situation. I mean, this makes a giant repository, I'd say, for all of this media that you can just pull from. And it looks really nice.
Yeah, and in version 5, you can also catalog non-media items like your project files, your spreadsheets, you know, the text documents that support your production.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also build a simple rough cut within CatDV version 5, so you can send that out. You know, the producer can sort of throw stuff together. In reality TV, where they bring a whole mess of material in, you know, they use timelines as storyboards. So the producer, story editor, will pull that material out of the database for the logged material for that particular show and throw a rough idea for the craft editor to then take and massage into a smooth story. And DivX have finally released an official DivX player for Macintosh. It's taken a long time. I mean, we've been able to play DivX on Macintosh relatively easily, because in players like VLC that, you know, don't rely only on QuickTime's components. But this does actually include full compatibility with QuickTime 7 and anything above Mac OS 10.3.9.
Now, Philip, the DivX Hodak is an AVI file, correct? But it's encoded with their DivX or the DVIX type format, correct?
Actually, it's a hybrid of something that's standard and something that's not standard. The proper MPEG-4 structure, an ISO MPEG-4 file, is an MPEG-4 video track with an AAC audio track in the MP4 file structure, the MPEG-4 file structure. DivX is a very good quality MPEG-4 video codec, advanced simple profile video codec, but it puts it with an MP3 audio into an AVI wrapper to make something that's kind of proprietary to DivX. Frankly, QuickTime can play that combination reasonably well as long as the MP3 is not variable bitrate. As soon as you go to a variable bitrate MP3, QuickTime player, has a hiccup and doesn't do the job as smoothly as you'd like.
So this new DivX release is an actual plug-in for QuickTime, sort of like we've seen with the Flip for Mac stuff with Windows Media Component?
There is an export component if you buy the commercial version of it, and there also is the DivX player for itself, but there is a component for QuickTime as well.
Cool. Philip, how do we get more information on the Digital Production Buzz?
Just head on over to digitalproductionbuzz.com, join the show live 6 or 7 p.m. on a Thursday night, join the chat then, or catch it in the podcast afterwards.
Cool. That was Philip Hodges of Digital Production Buzzmeister. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by DVD XDV. If you have content that you've created and you burnt this to a DVD, let's say an iDVD, or someone's giving you a cool DVD they made, or maybe even something they've recorded off their DVR, their little,
Say they just took a bunch of home movies and they just... got them to a DVD.
Yeah, or they pulled it off these things that you can buy now that are like a VCR, but it records to a DVD.
Yeah.
It's MPEG, too. You want to pull the stuff back off, stick it in a Final Cut Express, iMovie, DVD Studio Pro, Avid Unity Re-edit Nitro
everything.
System.
Yeah.
Whatever you got, from $10 to $100,000. All you need is DVD XDV. You can actually select the clip, export it as a QuickTime movie, different formats, and do what you want with it. It's cool stuff. You can check it out at DVDXDV.com. So let's talk about a couple things going on in the news. You know what's very interesting is that there's a couple radio stations in Chicago and Indianapolis that have actually partnered with Apple and the iTunes Music Store. So listeners can actually search, browse, and buy songs directly from the iTunes Music Store featured on the station's website. So I think as a song's playing,
yeah,
it shows the link to the song, and you can click on it and buy the song. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, that is very cool. I mean, I think it's great because that's one of the always the thing about radio that you that has always been missing is that you hear a song you like, maybe the DJ doesn't announce it, or you miss the announcement in the front and the back of the song. You can go back over to the website and just immediately buy it. I mean, that's
what was that thing?
Right to action. That's fantastic.
Do you remember the thing Sony had a couple years ago out? A couple 3 years. It was this little device, this white thing, and radio stations used to put like a little signal out. And you could click the button when you heard a song that was cool, and this was available in different markets. Okay? Uh-huh. It was this little pin thing. It was like a USB gig, USB deal, like a little USB pin drive.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard a song that was cool on the radio, and you clicked the button.
Yeah.
And then you'd stick it back in the computer, and it'd tell you what the song was when you clicked it, and then gave you a link back to be able to find out what it was and buy it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. But the only problem is that, you know, you just don't want to be carrying... Yeah, it doesn't work, and you don't want to be carrying around a device all the time. You just could be like, you know, just remember the time, and then go over to iTunes and pull it down and go, oh, okay, that was the song I was listening to.
Yeah.
So. And you could actually probably even preview the song, you know, okay, was that the one, or was that the one, or that one? Then, you know, you find it and buy it. I think that's great for the music industry. I mean, that's got to be like a dream come true for them because, yeah, you know, that's where they could really capture a lot of revenue just from that.
So true.
Yeah.
Also, this week, DigiDesign released Pro Tools 7.1.1, Intel only. Not dual binary, but Intel only. So if you have an Intel-based Mac, you can get Pro Tools LE,
yeah,
7.1.1 for an Intel-based processor Mac.
Oh, that's great. You know, because, I mean, that is the standard for doing any kind of production. And now with, like, you know, fast MacBook Pros, you know, you're a kind of guy that lives on his laptop. I live on my laptop.
I use Pro Tools every day.
Yeah. And so
but I don't have an Intel one yet.
Yeah.
I'm still.
Yeah. But that's.
I'm hardcore, brother. Power yeah. PC.
Yeah. Well, you have to be until everything is stable and is what you need is on that computer.
Well, now I can get. I mean, of course, I have Final Cut Studio 5.1.1.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do anything because, you know, you use Pro Tools every day.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, he would basically be cut off.
So now that it's now I have an excuse to go get a new 17-inch MacBook Pro.
Yes, yes. Right. With the faster graphics adapter.
Right.
That's nice.
So I can run one of my 30-inch cinema displays off my laptop.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
You can never have enough screen real estate.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, they're great. You know, that's it's a great laptop. It really feels like you're lugging around. It feels like you're working on a G5 workstation when you're on them. They're great.
Another thing, though, is the RTAS plugins, and if you know about Pro Tools, the actual Digi suite that comes with it,
mm-hmm,
is compatible, but like every third-party plugin doesn't work for Intel yet. So
you
can't
yeah.
make the full transition if you bought a bunch of plugins or you bought, you know, the Waves package for $2,000.
Yeah. Well, that's why there's still some people out there on Pro Tools that are running OS 9.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, still plenty of them because they got some plug-in and it's gone. It's off the market.
Couple suites here in the studio.
Yeah.
They're still running OS 9 because there's so much money invested in plugins that, you know, if you had to go and replace everything out and put it all in the OS 10, you'd go spend another $5,000 or $6,000 per box to redo the plugin. So, you know, everything works great in 9 still. So, you know.
They stay on it.
It's just to the point of, you know, if you have the right tool to get the job done, just if it works.
Don't touch it.
Yep. That's it. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio Program. Next up, Sam Levin, Cool Mac Picks.
Consulting is a new service that offers troubleshooting, training, advice, and technical support to Mac users. Our expert technicians will resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. We guarantee it. To find out more, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577. My name is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approve, wrote, and produced this message.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and this part of the Inside Mac Radio Program is brought to you by MCE Technologies. If you have a G5, a G4, a G3, you know, a PowerBook, and you got a slow CD burner or a slow DVD burner, and you want a dual-layer, super-hot fast smoking drive.
Yeah.
Dude, they have them.
And they're nice and thin. We reviewed one of those a while back in the program.
Oh, they're
really thin.
That is very cool.
It's probably the thinnest drive. It's not this, like, you know, other third-party makers, they make this, here's your CD-ROM drive, and you can just drop it on the table and just break through.
Yeah. No, this thing is thin and cool, and it'll do, you know, up to 16X dual layer in a G5. So it's pretty cool. Or an 8X dual layer in a PowerBook.
Uh-huh.
Pretty neat stuff. iBook, whatever.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Very good stuff.
So cool stuff there. And they're also an Apple authorized reseller, so you can buy iPods. They got MacBook Pros in stock, MacBooks. They can sell you one already stuffed full of memory and a big hard drive, whatever you want, all factory warranted.
Good stuff.
And you get a smoking deal on Final Cut Studio if you buy a Mac from them, too. They got some crazy deal going. So
that's
pretty cool stuff. You can check them out at MCE Tech. That's mcetech.com. Right now we're here with Sam Levin, the man from Cool Mac Picks. How you doing, Sammy?
We have some cool stuff. I've got some surprises for you guys, but you know, you have to be using a Mac, though. So.
Oh, well, that's okay. I think we're covered here. No heathen boxes in this house.
Hey, listen, RadTech, our friends from good old St. Louis, always are coming out with unique products for the Mac, and they're really very much focused on portable and mobile computing. Over the last 2 weeks, they shipped the BT100 Bluetooth mobile mouse. Now, this follows their big success of their BT500. If you remember, they came out with a really cool travel mouse called the BT500, and now they've updated it, and it is really, really nice. It's only $49.95. It's Bluetooth. It's actually Bluetooth 2, and it also tracks up to 800 dpi for resolution. Well, here's something that's really cool about this, guys. It's a rechargeable via USB, via the NiCad batteries.
Oh, hey, that's pretty cool.
So they give you the batteries so that you can charge with USB. And if you don't want to do that, you can buy two AAA batteries and stick them in whenever you're on the road. And how many times I have to use a mouse when I'm on the road. This is a really nice mouse. Now, not only that, they make a full-size version of the same mouse. So if you want something a little bit bigger, you can buy the BT600, and it's essentially the same thing. It's only $10 more. It's got controls for scroll. It's got two programmable buttons on the left side. It's really, really nice, and as we know, RadTech has been making great products for the Mac, the PowerBook, the iPod, all these different accessories. Just check out RadTech's site. It's RadTech.com. RADTECH.US, not .com, but RadTech.US for some very killer deals. And also, what I've been using for a lot of fun is a program from Freeverse. And Freeverse are the guys that make really killer games. They make the game for the eyesight that you put your hand through it and you interact with the game.
That is cool.
Okay,
yes.
They've won numerous awards, but what I'm really digging is their product called Comic Life. And Comic Life allows you to create comics in a heartbeat, and it's all tied into iPhoto. So if you have your photos in iPhoto, you open up Comic Life, and all of your photos are already there. Built-in templates, it's universal, so it will run on all your new PowerBooks or your new Intel-based Macs. It is so much fun to use, and also it's tied into your eyesight. So if your eyesight is on, you can click some photos, instantly create a really cool comic book strip. It exports to iPhoto. It exports to TIFF. It's just fantastic. The guys at Plask Down Under, the Australians, created this. Freeverse is marketing it, distributing it. Check it out at freeverse.com. It's only $29.95.
Cool, Sammy. Thank you so much. That was Sam Levin and his Cool Mac Picks. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, the leaders in digital imaging. Check them out at popphoto.com and, of course, American Photo, the magazine for the professional digital photographer. You can check them out at AmericanPhoto.com. Right now, here with Neil Tichton. Neil is the publisher and CEO of Mac Tech Magazine. How you doing, Neil?
Pretty good. How are you, Scott?
Good. So give our listeners a little background. If they're not familiar with Mac Tech Magazine, what is Mac Tech Magazine?
Well, Mac Tech's been around for coming up on 22 years now. We're the second oldest publication. Got our start as a programming magazine a long while back, but a year and a half or almost 2 years ago, we went from being a programming-only magazine to a magazine for all geeks on the Macintosh, covering everything from command line interface stuff, Apache configuration, PHP, networking, gadgets, geek stuff, and some programming stuff still as well. So we're covering the whole geek spectrum these days.
Wow. So give me a little rundown of the different stuff that's in your magazine, because like I said before, you guys got really heavy into code. You were talking about object-oriented Objective-C and C++ and all these cool things and heavy AppleScript. But what do you guys actually, give me sort of the breakdown of the different types of articles that are in the magazine now.
Sure. So I mean, some of our best content, and the ones that the authors like the most, or, sorry, the readers like the most, are our scripting column that we have with Ben Waldie. We have a whole bunch of OS X investigation and troubleshooting command line stuff by Ed Marzak. We have a bunch of open source projects that by Dean Chavit. We have a series of articles that come in both in the case of reviews, or we have a new column with Microsoft where we talk about enterprise-level technologies, things like SharePoint and Entourage, and how searching with Spotlight happens under the hood in Entourage, and how to go with Exchange servers, and really high-end stuff. We also have some new content for the programmer side that we're doing with Intel here. Starting in our July issue, there's an article series that talks about how to make the most efficient code for Intel processors. It's an exclusive series, not on the Apple website, not on the Intel website, but just in Mac Tech that we're doing with Intel. We have our June cover stories about how to create your own wiki. We talk about all kinds of things in the way of troubleshooting, PHP configuration, KVM switches, MySQL, Lasso, you name it, all kinds of technical web development, networking, some developer topics for the geek on the Mac.
So it's kind of like average Mac user, and you want to get something more out of your Macintosh. You can go to their site, you go to MacTech.com and find out, you know, how to do all of these things.
Yeah, I mean, MacTech's primarily a print publication, so we do most of our best work on the print side. There is some stuff on the web, and there's a lot more stuff coming. There's going to be a new CD that we have available here soon that has all kinds of articles where people can go back and look at our back issues that way. There is some content on the web, but it definitely lags behind the magazine. The print magazine is where our readers, even though they're very technical, tell us that they want to see this stuff, because when you're on the web, you're in news mode or looking to buy something or looking to reference something. But when you're looking to learn, most people want to do that in print still, and that's what we do in the magazine. Now, on our website, we have a new news aggregator where we take a look at news from all around the web that might apply to geeks on the Mac, and we sort it by time and we give you a little synopsis of what's happening and then send you off to the right direction on these great websites that are out there. We also have our MacForge portion of our site, which is an open source index. Kind of we're playing librarian here to open source on the Mac. And we have over 35,000 projects that either work on the Mac or likely will work on the Mac because of what their heritage is. And you can check that out at MacForge.net in addition to what's at MacTech.com.
Hey, Neil, tell us about, on the actual website, you have a news aggregator that sort of brings all this Mac news into one thing over at MacTech.com.
Yeah, and that's what I was mentioning here a second ago. And if you go to the home page of MacTech.com, we pick up news from the most important websites from all around the community. And it allows the geek to scan the entire community all in one shot without having to go to 20, 30 websites every day. Because some of these sites have great content, but they're not being updated every single day that's out there. And the aggregator gets sorted by time, so you can see how, you know, one news source might be covering a story a little bit differently than another, or one might get it a little bit prior to the other, and you can see where all the best news from all around the globe. And the page sits there and reloads periodically, and we have a version of it that is just about the news if you go to our community news page. In addition to that, if you want to see the latest software out there, the major pieces of software that are kind of editor's picks, if you will, we have a new section powered by Version Tracker that's also on our homepage. So the MacTech homepage is a great way to see a lot of stuff from all around the community, kind of a dashboard to the rest of the technical community.
Tell us about, you did an article recently about the effectiveness of how Microsoft Office runs under Rosetta.
Sure. And this is an article that actually is available on our website. If you go to the homepage of MacTech.com, you'll see a link there. We did a massive set of tests. It was well over 1,000 tests that we sat there and did timing of individual pieces of Office across a PowerBook G4 compared to a MacBook, compared to an Intel iMac. And the whole premise of the article was, does Office run well enough under Rosetta? Rosetta is Apple's dynamic translation technology that they use to run PowerPC applications on an Intel machine without the user having to worry about it. Now, since it is translation, there's a layer in there. And the concern was, you know, would Office run well enough that people could go ahead and buy their Intel Macs without fear of it being too sluggish? And what we found is that it ran anywhere from well enough to very well. And in some cases, it even ran a little faster than on a PowerBook G4, which was a surprise to see. There's a lot of detail to it, and there's a 4 or 5 page article on the MacTech website that you can check out with a lot more information. But in general, it worked anywhere from well enough to very well.
That's cool. Now, you also have a deal going here with a combined effort you're working on with Microsoft to actually bring MacTech magazine to people on the cheap.
Yeah. So we've been working with Microsoft with this new column that we have, and we've been able to put together a program where MacTech and Microsoft together are providing qualified readers of the magazine a deal where they can get the magazine for free. They just have to pay for the postage and shipping. The postage and handling. You have to fill out a very short survey. It's about 11 questions there, and it'll only take a moment or two. And if people qualify, which is anyone in the U.S. and Canada and new subscribers to the magazine, they can get it for $9.95, which is the postage and handling charge for it. Now, if you don't qualify for some reason, we still have a special deal for you that you can also get to. And I think, Scott, we can provide links on the web later for this for people to get to them.
Yeah, I'll give those out here a little bit later, but we have a couple of links set up, and we'll put them up on the website, too.
Great.
Now, tell me about this new Mac and Enterprise column, where the Macintosh now has the Exerve RAIDs, we have XSAN.
Right.
Tell us about all this stuff and how the Mac is actually integrating in with Enterprise and what you guys have a new column on and what you guys have seen how Apple's doing with this integration into actually big business.
Right. So there's kind of two classes of things that are going on with the Mac in the Enterprise market. One is all the stuff that Apple is doing to make the Mac a great server, whether it's XSANs and Exerves and just as a server in general with Mac OS X server. And the second thing is the Mac fitting into these Enterprise environments. Now, on the former part, there's coverage that we've been doing on some of the different disk technologies that are out there. We've got some stuff in the works on XSAN. We're certainly doing a lot on coverage of Mac OS X and Mac OS X server as a server within the magazine. And then in addition to that, you know, obviously if you're doing a lot of Enterprise stuff, you're interfacing with the Microsoft environments, with Exchange Server or SharePoint or any one of the number of technologies out there that Microsoft has. So we have a number of columnists covering the Apple side of things that I talked about a second ago, and then we're working with Microsoft on doing true how-to articles in Mac Tech fashion of, you know, how do you go and configure SharePoint? How do you go about configuring in a larger environment, making Spotlight work with Entourage or configuring in with an Exchange server, which the guys at Microsoft know better than anybody in the market. So there's a whole series of different enterprise areas that we're talking about. And enterprise on the Mac means anybody using enterprise-level technologies, which doesn't mean that you need to have 500 people in your company or 5,000 people in your company. You might only have 5 people or 25 people and still take advantage of these technologies. So anybody who's looking to stretch and to learn more about what's going on under the hood with the Mac, these new columns, the existing columns we've been doing for the last year, and, you know, let's not forget the print advertisers that are in the magazine. Every one of those ads is a great source of information as well. So that's what MacTech is about today.
Very cool stuff. So give us the address again, MacTech Magazine. I'm going to put the links up on the website. We'll talk about that later, but give us a link now, how to get more information on MacTech and all the kinds of things you're doing with the new, cool, redone, rebranded MacTech Magazine.
Absolutely. So the website is www.MacTech.com. And that special offer for Inside Mac Radio listeners that we're doing with Microsoft here, you go to MacTech.com/MS-survey/InsideMacRadio.html.
And Neil,
those links will be up later.
Hey, Neil, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to have Neil back again and some of his editors talking about the great stuff they're doing at MacTech, because we want to bring a little more broader coverage, especially the Mac and Enterprise section, just to let people know what's going on and how to geek out with your Mac. Thanks a lot, Neil.
Thanks, Scott.
There you go. MacTech Magazine, here's on the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you're a creative professional doing Photoshop, InDesign, Illustrator, freehand, fireworks, you name it, you're creating content, you're doing cool stuff, this is a place you need to check out. They got great forums. There's a weekly email, tips you can get, all kinds of great stuff going on at Creative Pro. Check them out at creativepro.com. So yeah, the MacTech deal is pretty cool. They used to be really hardcore programmer, Objective-C,
C++. I used to get that magazine.
They're still covering that stuff a little bit, but now they've actually broadened out to not your consumer homeowner Mac guy,
right?
But someone that really wants to get into the platform and have some fun,
right? A more general audience. Say you got you're just a basic guy and you want to move over to the next level, or you want to do something a little different with your Mac, go a little further. I mean, it's a great site to go check out and to find things and a good magazine to subscribe to find things about going to that next level, whatever it means, whether it's like getting to the command line or who knows what, anything really.
Yeah.
Enterprise stuff. Yeah.
It is fun.
So what else is going on this week?
New stories here on the Mac stuff is what's interesting. Did you see the story about, and I shouldn't even probably say this, but the guys over at Microsoft and this alliance with NTT Docomo and Toshiba and JVC trying to put the wooden stake in the heart of the iPod?
You could call this like a suicide mission. Another iTunes suicide mission. Basically,
dude,
that's
these cats pulled out the glass pipe, dropped a big fat rock in it, and pulled the torch out, dude. And they're smoking their own crack.
I think it's a complete suicide mission. I mean, it's like trying to take on General Motors and Ford and create your own car company on that level. You know, or if you're international, take on, Toyota or something. Huge car companies. iTunes is so established, and it literally has so much staying power that I think it's going to be impossible to knock.
Well, they think they're going to make a hardware device that's going to challenge it, but, they're looking at an iPod today. They don't know what's in Building 5, man.
Well, that's just the thing.
And the thing is, like you said, there's some other devices out there that are cool. There's an Arcos player that has a 7-inch screen. It's pretty cool. Even some of the Zen stuff is pretty neat hardware.
But it doesn't do all
things. There's no back-end support.
Yeah. It's not a system. I mean, the whole thing about it is that if you're going to go out and you're going to build a player of some kind, it's probably pretty easy. Throw a couple of chips in a box, get some software done, somewhere in some third world country, throw it together, stick it in there, and just throw it in a box and send it out. It's like, that's easy. But no one's going to buy it because you need the whole entire support system, everything around it. You need the buzz, you need the advertising and everything else. You can't just put a box in a shelf and expect it to sell.
No.
I mean, it's way more than that. It's more complicated. And that's where Apple has proven the value of design. It's a designed system to deliver a great user experience for everyone.
The whole thing. It's user experience. And Microsoft does not deliver
user experience,
okay? The Mac business unit does, but here's a gig with those cats. They're in a separate deal. They're like in Palo Alto. They're not in Washington. They're not infected by the nastiness.
Yeah.
It's a different gig. Even though it's the same code base, but they take it and tweak it. So I can't say the Mac business unit has any. We're
going
to leave those guys from getting their head whacked.
Yeah. Okay? We better just listen to that at all.
Because
those
I use Entourage every day.
And
when I have to use Word, I use it. And there's some Microsoft stuff that's good, but I think in general, I don't know what they're thinking with this deal, that they're going to be able to just...
It's a suicide mission, you know? It's just like they're going into an area where they can't make money at, and...
Did you see there was an interview the other day, and I was on TV, and I don't remember which one it was on, but there was an interview with Bill Gates, and someone asked him, "What's on your iPod?" And he's like, I don't have an iPod. Yeah, right. Right. You're smoking crack, dude. You got a whole drawer full of them somewhere.
Oh, I know. It's silly. He doesn't, but everybody else in the rest of the world does, and so it's pointless.
Well, there was a deal about people bringing iPods on the campus, and they didn't want them to do that. You could bring an iPod to work.
Yeah, the whole thing. Just denial. I think it's just pure denial.
That's it. So good luck, NTT Docomo. You're going to need it, brother. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back. Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, from digital photography to geek X-ray server XSAN stuff to you name it, digital photo, video. If it's happening in the land of Apple, it's here on Inside Mac. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and Dina Orlando. This part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac radio program. If you need something printed, it doesn't matter what you hacked it out in, you can send them any file. These guys will make it work. Cool stuff. Ink on paper, real offset printers. You can check them out, printingforless.com. I don't know if we want to go back and revisit that whole deal, but I can't believe these guys think they're going to take on the iPod.
I think it'll just be like... you know, some point there'll be some slang and like, oh, that must be, you know, whenever you like see a product being a complete total failure, you just say, oh, that must be the next iPod killer. It must be something to that effect, you know.
So I don't think it's Gates initiating this stuff. It must be Ballmer.
Yeah, who knows?
Because he's running the company, really. You know?
Yeah, who knows what's going on, but they're just, they're not what they used to be. You know, they used to be a really strong company and they were powerful in the 90s and they have somewhat stalled in the last few years. So it's...
Yeah, well, what happened? Let's scenarioize this, okay? Let's say... let's say that, as a scenario, doomsday scenario for Redmond, that Apple Computer releases Mac OS X for Intel, for everything. You can buy Mac OS X and run on any nasty beige box on the planet, any nasty Dell box, whatever, for $100. What happens to Microsoft?
Good question. You know, I think it's going to
be... They got a lot of cash. They got a lot of staying power.
I think it's tough because there's a lot of legacy stuff. It's very hard to unseat them, but what you're going to see is just a slow erosion as they don't get their act together on releasing operating systems or making them right or making their products good. You'll just see a slow, steady decline. You won't see a sudden day where, you know, everything just falls apart. But you will see gradually people transitioning over to other solutions, I think, is what would happen. If they can't turn it around, I think that's most likely what I think is going to happen to them. And there's a lot of good reasons to go to a Mac, because now you don't have to... You can work with the transitioned environment. You can work with your Windows software, and you can work with your Mac OS X software. And so you can get on one machine the best of both worlds. And so... By buying a Mac, you have much more power and much more capabilities than really any other environment. I mean, you can run Linux, you can run everything, and really isn't. I mean, to me, that's and then I think in note what people have done studies in as far as the price difference, the price gap, it's about 10% or so, 10 or 20% is what people say is, and so that extra 10 or 20% that you might spend buying the Macintosh is going to give you just a world more of possibilities. I mean, I can't think to any reason why you wouldn't get one. It's the best of all possible worlds, and right now probably the best time to do it.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, and talking about the iPod, iPod Lounge, or actually
iLounge
because they got busted. iLounge released an iPod book. You know, they do a book that's got sort of a pre-PDF that, you know, it's, I don't know if it's a bunch of advertising, but it's got all the accessories that you can get for your iPod.
Yeah.
They got about a bunch of sneak previews of new products that are coming down the line from Belkin, Griffin, you know, the normal cats that are doing stuff. Even Oakley's making stuff now for the iPod. And it's sort of cool. So if you go over to iLounge, Larry works over there. Larry Angel used to be the editor over at Mac Minute.
Oh, cool.
So Larry's over there now at
iLounge.
At iLounge, hanging out with those cats, Dennis and those guys. And,
oh, wow.
Go over to iLounge and pick up your free 194-page PDF book. If anything, it's worth, you know, a quick read before it hits the, you know.
It's the
late button.
Yeah.
Or you can print it out and use up a $20 inkjet cartridge.
Yeah, cool. There you go. It's six times the price of buying a book.
That's it. Make a pack with the inkjet people. Make free books and sell ink. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Mac Update. Do you ever want to update the software on your Mac besides the software update preference pane that's built into Mac OS X?
Yeah.
Find out the new version of Pro Tools.
Yes.
Boinks of software, iStop Motion.
Yeah,
whatever.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, go to Mac Update. Get in quick, easy. You don't have to go through six layers of pages and look at 4,000 ads. You can go over to Mac Update and check them out at macupdate.com. Cool stuff there. Good, good, good. So right now, we want to introduce the new executive producer of Inside Mac Television, and the new host of the Inside Mac Daily News program that's starting up here very shortly, Dina Orlando. How you doing, Dina?
Doing great, thank you.
Cool. So Dina's going to be our new daily host. Dina's been doing broadcast stuff for years, and she graduated
magna cum laude from Harvard.
Yeah, there we go.
Even better, bachelor's degree.
Yeah, from San Jose State.
Yeah.
In television and radio broadcast, mass communication, correct?
Actually, radio, television, and film.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Film. Isn't film cool?
Didn't do much with the film.
Did you guys get to actually make some film stuff at all?
I didn't do the film part. I did a few TV production courses, but I focused mainly on Pro Tools and production and stuff like that.
Right, and you've worked at a bunch of radio stations. Tell us about where you've... You've worked at a
How
few.
Much time do we have?
I got a few minutes. You worked at KNTS?
KNTS recently. I was the sports producer for Carolyn Burns, who worked on ESPN, was also sports personality for KGO News, I believe, Channel 7.
Right.
Before that, I worked at KNBR,
a
huge flagship for the Giants.
50,000-watt monster power in the
Heard in Nevada, heard basically anywhere.
Yeah.
I was producer assistant for Gary Radnich in the morning, and did a lot of other stuff on the side as well. Did some production for them as well.
That's cool.
Where else? KBLX production assistant, hot urban. Well, not really a hot urban, more you know, mellow urban.
Yeah.
But did production assistant there. Interned.
Yeah?
Yeah, I worked at KSJS, San Jose State's college radio station, where I got my first, you know, DJ role. It was
cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, college radio. Very cool. Yeah, it's good
very
stuff.
Free.
Very free. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
Dina's going to be doing the Inside Mac daily gig now, so she's going to be doing our news broadcast Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Talking about all things Mac.
So all those people out there complaining about not getting enough Mac news.
Watch
all
out.
All three of you.
Yeah, the 160 losers that put feedback on iTunes.
All three people complaining about there not being enough Mac news.
Yeah, so we're going to have our 250,000 served daily again here.
Yeah.
Coming up, and you know, you guys can look forward to hearing stuff from Dina, and she'll be joining us here on the Saturday extravaganza here on Inside Mac, talking about all kinds of cool stuff. And she's, like I said, rips and Pro Tools and does all kinds of great stuff. So it's going to be great. We're glad to have you on the team.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool stuff. So, you know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. It'd be good to get some news and get those things out there. We need more coverage. We need daily stuff. We need people to be addicted to Inside Mac Radio. Like, you can't turn it off.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot of outlet for a daily audio broadcast. There's a couple other cats that are trying to do it, but, you know, it's a bunch of fluff, and they've hooked up with some loser websites. And,
oh, yeah, we don't need to go there. Yeah, and, you're getting into trouble. Hate mail coming down. Stop
no,
the
there's
hate,
no
mail.
Hate mail. You know, I'm just trying to lay down that, you know, and I can announce this, too, that the Inside Mac Daily News Program has partnered with the number one news website on the planet of Mac Minute.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'll see stuff with Inside Mac posted quite frequently and regularly and linked all over with Mac Minute.
Uh-huh.
6.5 million page views a month plus.
Wow.
Over at Mac Minute.
Wow.
You know, they have quite a large audience, so.
Yeah.
And that's what Stan Fleck. Stan is the creator of Mac Central. Stan created Mac Central and then sold that to Mac Publishing a few years back. And
oh, so he created Mac Central.
He created Mac Central. He is the king of Macintosh news, Stan Fleck.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So we partnered with Stan.
We partnered with the king.
That's right. So we're going to have, you know, now Mac Minute's going to have their own special deal with us. And, you know, we didn't partner with the alternative cats. We're with the leaders.
Yeah.
So it's cool there. So you'll be able to check that out at Mac Minute with that deal. And we'll have some official press releases coming down the line. But, you know, our Inside Mac Super Extravaganza Weekend Show listeners now get a little sneak peek of what's coming up here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think we need to get those people just hooked into the feed all day long. They just can't turn it off, you know. We got television coming at you. We got audio, everything. It's your entire one-stop shop for everything Mac.
We got more video coming down the line. So everybody that's, you know, I mean, we keep gaining a very large amount of subscribers every week, so
that is pretty amazing.
Contrary to some feedback that we've had in iTunes,
it's really funny because what you see is a show will pop up to the top, and then just drop down to nothing, or a show will keep popping up to the top, and then you find out, well, what they just did was change out the RSS feed so that everybody has to resubscribe again. And so they get themselves back on iTunes and stay up at the top of the iTunes list, but they only have, you know, 5 subscribers. They just keep having to resubscribe.
Well, I see press releases from other shows that say, you know, we had 2 million downloads last month.
Yeah.
Yeah, but your feed, you only have 26,000, really, but you didn't count that each person pinged your server 10 times a day.
See, that's right. And then we covered that at the Podcasting Summit. You covered that at the Podcasting Summit, what we did at the National Association of Broadcasters.
Yeah.
How you have to actually look deeper into your server logs and so on and so forth. So when you hear downloads, you don't, that's not a download because the iTunes, when you subscribe to iTunes, it's constantly refreshing.
Yeah, if you have it set, normally the default setting is once an hour. So if your machine's on for 8 hours, it's going to check every podcast that you're subscribed to at least 8 times during that 8-hour period.
Yeah, and there may be no new content.
And there's no new content for a week, so take 8 times 5, there's 40 pings a day times 20,000 people. Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. It's false.
Okay,
numbers.
I got millions of listeners.
False
Yay.
Hopes. They have more listeners than there are people on the planet. That's the thing, you know?
Yeah. So you need to look at your server code. We can talk another segment about that. Maybe we'll talk about that later in this show about, you know, I don't know if people want to know about Apache logs, but either way.
Oh, yeah. I think, well, it just gets you the idea that, you know, some people that will, there's a lot of tricks in people getting into these games and podcasting and whatnot, but we still continue to just grab tons and tons of shares of listeners and doing quite well. I mean, I think it's, I get, you know, that's the funny thing is we go to Macworld or you go to places and people are constantly coming up to and saying how great they like the show and all of those things. And I think it's good feedback.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be great. And with the addition of Dina, it's going to be very cool. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, role journalists now doing our daily program and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Laying off the bottle and
laying
down
off the
killer.
Hey, we're not.
So, like I said, the number one Macintosh show on the planet, the number one daily Mac news show, partnered with the number one Macintosh site for news in the world. Inside Mac and the Inside Mac Daily Show, partnered with Mac Minute. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. You can find out more information about what we've been talking about at InsideMacRadio.com or just head over to MacMinute.com. We'll be right back.
Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California, is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. If you want to learn all the cool stuff about pre-production, production,
post-production,
post-production distribution, you can find it out
like
at the
trippy old commercial production.
Yes.
Post-production. Distribution.
Yes, they can listen to it here later in the show. It'll be cool stuff.
It is cool stuff. It's a great show.
Yes, you can check out that if you're like a really hardcore video geek. Check out Philip's gig Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web, and then podcast there shortly thereafter at digitalproductionbuzz.com. So, Brad, you have some software.
Yeah.
That you're associated with called HDV XDV,
mm-hmm.
and it was used in the production of the brand new Al Gore feature motion picture.
Yeah,
this
was a strange thing that happened. It was about Thanksgiving, I think it was the day after Thanksgiving, and I got a call from one of my customers, and they said, hey, we got this big job that's coming in, and we want you to come up and just take a look at it, make sure everything is right. So I go up to this place, and I'm like, hey, this is interesting. This is a videotape, and they actually had shot a lot of video of Al Gore at Japan and walking around with a JVC GY HD 100. Shot all this stuff, and they wanted to transfer it over to HD cam, and so I worked there and supervised this to get this, to make sure this all came out through HDV XDV. You know, when do I find out, like a couple weeks later, that it's this major motion picture and it's premiering at Sundance? And now it's picked up distribution from Paramount, and this new film is actually getting incredible reviews. I mean, it's getting absolutely rave reviews by critics. The movie's called An Inconvenient Truth. I just went and saw it on Friday, and I was astounded. It was everything that everybody said about it. It was just amazing. A fantastic picture. And it was also weird watching it and thinking, hey, I actually saw that scene before when it was running through my software.
So tell us about this movie. You got to see it. Is this talk about the travesty that happened in Florida?
A lot of things it does, but the main story behind this movie is it's talking about, see, Al Gore has been doing this presentation on global warming for about 6 years, and it's great because he does this all on a Macintosh. I mean, he's actually doing his presentation in Keynote, and you see a lot of this done, a lot of screen time devoted to him just working on his presentation. Well, a little bit of screen time. The whole movie isn't him working on his presentation, but, you know, you see a lot of the use of the Mac in the film to actually make the presentation. And the film starts out, really follows the presentation that he does, and then cuts away to different sections to kind of give a backstory or a backfill to the points in the presentation, the main points. And it's, you need to think, why am I going to a movie watching? First of all, you might have like a, you know, maybe say, oh, I don't like Al Gore. I didn't like him in the debates. I didn't like him on television. He is amazing in this film. It's a totally different person. You would just never recognize this guy before. It's amazing what he does in this film. And
He is the president of the United States, correct?
Yeah, I think he is. Okay, but some people might go, no, I don't want to see it. Or you might be even skeptical about global warming, because there was I was a little bit skeptical for walking into this film. I thought, well, maybe not. Maybe global warming isn't really happening. You get out of this film and you really, really get a tremendous understanding of the facts and the science around the whole issue. And it's a powerful film. I mean, you get to the end of this thing and you just feel like I just watched an amazing movie, and it's just really worth checking out. I think go down there and see it. It's only premiering at like 4 theaters, and so you have to search around to see where it's at. But it's a very small distribution, but it's getting rave reviews.
Is there a website that goes with it? What's the name of the movie again?
Called An Inconvenient Truth. But if you go to, you can go to dvdxdv.com, and then I've got a link off the front page over to the movie. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I linked over to it. And you can also go to, if you can remember this, climatecrisis.net. Just go to climatecrisis.net and check it out.
Yeah, there it is, right there, the first thing you hit when you hit on Google.
A good movie, a lot of Mac time, you know, and a great film.
cool stuff there. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Hi, thanks for calling. This is Tom. I'm not in right now. In fact, I'll be out most of the day. I need to go to the computer repair shop. My Mac crashed big time. There I was, working on the final version of the annual report, when boom, I crashed. I am so dead. No backup, no vacation, no job. Life sucks.
Hey Tom, this is Rich, your neighbor. Sorry to hear about your computer crash. Too bad you weren't using Tech Tool Pro. It could have fixed your drive and recovered your files in a few minutes. Go check it out at www.micromat.com. So anyway, I'm calling about some crazy kid that just drove his car through your side fence. There's a 67 Chevy sitting at the bottom of your pool. Take care.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Pop Photo. Do you take photography?
Yeah, I take photography.
You do, huh? You have Nikon D70.
Yeah, I'm looking to get a Nikon D200, too.
There you go. So if you want to check out all the great reviews, and there's some cool new stuff that just showed up on popphoto.com. They're redoing the website here. It's going to come out pretty quick. And the last issue magazine had like a digital SLR shootout. Pretty crazy. So check that out at popphoto.com. So there's a conference coming up.
Yes.
Called the C4 Sports Electronic Media Show.
Wow.
In Las Vegas.
Ah.
This is July 18th and the 19th.
Okay, that's a bad time to be in Vegas.
Why?
Because it'll be 700 degrees Fahrenheit.
Dude, I was in Dallas yesterday. It was 95.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the spring.
It's going to be warm.
It's going to be warm. You just want to pack a space suit. You know, or something. One of those fire retardant suits, you know, just to get outside.
Like the bunny suit from the bunny Intel suit. Cats.
Yeah.
The ones that got smoked by the G4. Yeah. Remember that commercial?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Because it'll need something like that to deflect all the heat.
Yeah. But there's a thing coming up is the C4 Sports Electronic Media Show, and we're actually doing a couple presentations there.
Oh, yeah, that's podcasting. Right. Oh, that's cool, yeah.
Going to do one on advanced podcasting, production technologies, techniques. And we're going to do one on using podcast to extend your brand. I'm going to talk about a case study about the Varsity Brand stuff we've been working on. So.
Yeah. I think one way or another, it'll be a really hot conference.
Yeah. Exactly. It'll be smoking baby. So that'll be cool. You can check that out over at c4-sports.com. So if you're into sports broadcasts, if you're a sports broadcaster, you know, you're working on sports stuff and you want to learn more technology about, just sports television and radio, mm-hmm. Just go to C4 Sports, c4-sports.com. Cool stuff there. More things in the news that we want to talk about. Have you seen these guys that are making clothing for iPods?
You know, Nike has some, Nike came out with some shoes. I didn't hear it with the clothing store. I know Nike has these shoes that can measure your distance when you get your iPod.
Yeah, somehow they talk to the iPod.
They talk to the
there's
iPod.
Other cats that are making clothes now.
Oh, yeah?
Furry little outfits and weird things for iPods. So I just want to talk about, you know, why are people buying clothes for their iPod?
Because it's a cult, you know? I mean, that's the bottom line. I was at Vegas the other day, and we were back in Vegas, and I was going through, I think you saw this too. We were going through the Hilton, over by the Star Trek experience, and they had one of the few iPod vending machines, and I think that was a test.
Yeah, isn't that
that was a
cool?
test case, and they're going to roll that out across the country.
I've seen that in some airports now.
Yeah,
where's the last airport I saw that?
Which you know you're on a trip and you forget your iPod, you just hit the vending machine and go get another one.
The Argent Hotel in San Francisco has one of those vending machines just like that with the iPod, but other stuff. They sell cell phones and everything in it. In this Argent Hotel in San Francisco here.
Wow.
Just like the one that's at the Hilton in Las Vegas next to the Star Trek Experience entrance.
Yeah.
And I've seen it in some other places. But, yeah, you can buy iPods now from a vending machine. So I guess that goes along with the whole clothing deal. This whole iPod thing is, like you said, it's I think it's hit critical mass.
I think it has.
I don't know if it really, I mean, I think so. I mean, critical mass is where everybody has one.
It's become a cultural phenomenon. You know, it's become literally like, I can't even think of anything that would compare to it.
Well, you see how big now the iTunes Music Store has got in Japan? It's exploded there. It's crazy.
Wow.
Monster huge.
Wow. So you literally just...
And I don't know if that's because of, you know, the Japanese like a lot of American stuff are into the American type of thing, too. And
I tell you what it is. Japan's space is a premium. If you can make it smaller, and of course, not having to have CDs is a nice thing because you got a large collection of CDs in Japan. That's taking up valuable real estate. So it could be just the size and the convenience issue. Time, money, everything.
Yeah. If you don't have to store 4,000 CDs, it's a good thing. So,
very much. Yeah.
You're listening Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
Today's Wall Street Journal helps you succeed in more ways than ever. Discover all that the Journal has to offer for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. With expanded content and enhanced design, the Journal is the paper to turn to for the important business news you need. And when it's time to focus on the business of life, there's Personal Journal, the section offered Tuesday through Thursday. Personal Journal features the subjects that hit home. Everything from selecting the right mortgage and the safest car to planning a vacation. From your livelihood to the way you live, today's Journal has got you covered. Subscribe now and get 8 weeks with free delivery of the Wall Street Journal, including Personal Journal, for just 38 cents a day. That's 60% off the cover price. This limited time offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. only.
Call now, 800-542-4100. That's 800-542-4100 for the Wall Street Journal.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058. Or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show was brought to you by DVD XDV. Like we said, take that content off your DVD. Or if you have a camcorder that does HDV format, there's another piece of software called HDV XDV that lets you take this content, convert it from LONGOP, MPEG, that's the geeky way that it's encoded, and lets you use it somewhere else that's normal. So if you want to do something that's normal, get HDV XDV. Check them out at HDVXDV.com. Right now we're here with Derek Story from the Digital Story podcast and a bunch of other great places. And we're going to talk about, he just did a show about doing cool slideshows with your Mac. And, you know, you can do slideshows in iPhoto, but Derek's got a cool way to do some other stuff. How you doing, Derek?
Oh, I'm doing great today. And you're right, I'm really pretty high on slideshows right now. That's my new thing.
So tell us about this. I mean, there's ways to do slideshows, but you come up with a pretty cool way to do it. Tell us on your Derek's slideshow hot tip of the day.
Well, here's the deal. You know, we're working on this thing right now in the Digital Story called the Slideshow Showcase, which I'll tell you about a little bit more in a second. But the whole idea is that, like, slideshows are, like, one of the best ways for photographers to show off their stuff. But a lot of, a lot of Mac shooters, they never really get around to, you know, to getting into it. And they think that slideshows are, the same old kind of boring thing that, we used to see in the old days. So if you use some of this new software that's out now, and my favorite one is by Boinks Software, is B-O-I-N-X.
Yeah.
It's called Photo Mágico. And this software is phenomenal. This is the stuff, if you ever watch the old Ken Burns, his early stuff, like on the Civil War or on baseball, where he just gets a whole bunch of still photos, and then suddenly, he just takes you to this other place and time by doing simple pans and zooms and doing a little voiceover and a little music. Anyone who owns a Mac can do that right now with Photo Mágico, and it's, just the software that, costs less than $100.
Now, a question about this. I know when you do the Ken Burns thing and you do it in iMovie or whatever, you have to actually animate each frame individually. So if you had 100 pictures, you have to set each one to do its own gig. zoom in, pan out, pan right, pan left.
Right.
With Photo Magico, can you actually say, here's 50 pictures and just make it cool, and let's let it run, and it does its own Kinsburn gig?
Well, no, I think, you know, even if you could do that, I wouldn't do that because, you know, you're sort of losing control. And you know, whenever you do anything all the time in slideshows, then you're setting yourself up, you know, for Snoozerville.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, the old slideshow deal is like, you know, everybody used to sit around with the old round tray of slides, and it was like, chink, chink.
Here's my vacation photos.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to have that hypnotic rhythm, you know. And, you know, that's part of the problem, you know, when with the OS X, you know, with the screensaver slideshow thing. If you really think about it, first you look at it and it's cool, right? Because everything's animated, everything's kind of done. And then, you know, but if you keep watching the screensaver for a while, pretty soon you're in like this trance, right? Because, you know, there's no break in the rhythm.
Yeah.
So I'm more into, you know, you use it, you use some pans, you use some zooms, and then you like cut, you know, some zooming, some panning, and you keep the viewer on his toes.
Yeah, have you seen this piece of software from a company called Screen Tools?
I haven't checked. I've heard about it. What's the deal with it?
It's like the original Real Kenneth Burns thing.
Really?
It's sort of expensive, man. I mean, I think it's hundreds of dollars.
Right.
But it does incredible, crazy, monster stuff with, you know, super high-res images. And I mean, it takes a lot of work to plot this, but I guess you lay your photos out like on a canvas and then plot the camera moving through these pictures.
Yeah, I see. Here's the deal with Photo Magico that I like. And by the way, the zooms and the pans are much smoother than, you know, the effect that they put in iMovie or iPhoto. So, you know, if you've played around with an iPhoto and go, oh, yeah, I tried that, it kind of, you know, not so hot. Well, that's because you're right, it's not so hot in iPhoto.
Well, there's an effect to get a true, you have to, you know, to zoom around a photo and do it correctly. You have to have things like motion blur as you're moving so that you simulate the frames actually, you know, the way it works is that, you know, the concept behind motion blur is that something's moving and your camera can't quite focus on it perfectly between the time the shutter is open.
Exactly.
And so that creates a little blur and you don't get the strobing effect as you jump across photos.
That's right. And it's a really nice little art form. And then what a lot of people don't realize too is that, like, for instance, if you're zooming in on a photo, right, and let's say your slideshow is, what, 640 by 480 or 720 by 480.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't zoom in on you don't put a photo in there that's 720 by 480 and then start to zoom in on it. Unless you really like that pixel effect, you know.
Yes, like, and you just see this giant pixel, and all you see is like 3 pixels that fill the screen.
So, you know, one of my tips is, make sure that you put, you know, enough resolution in there so that you can zoom in and, you know, and keep that super top quality the whole time. And when you do that, when you put like a 3 or 4 megapixel shot in there and then zoom in a little bit with the software, it really, really looks hot.
Mm.
Question, Derek.
Yeah.
You know, with the slideshow deal, and then, you know, I'm looking at the digital story right now, and you guys have a bunch of cool tips, and the podcast is very cool. The you have a release here talking about iView Multimedia that a lot of people use Media Pro.
Right.
And this gets into a deal that, like, this is basically iView Media Pro is like iPhoto on steroids.
Yeah, well, iView Media Pro, and I did put a post on there today because, you know, they just came out with a new version. They came out with the universal binary version for the Mac. And, of course, it runs on Windows, too. This is serious digital asset management. I mean, these guys have been working on this software for a long time, so it's a really robust database. It has a lot of features. It's very refined. And for people who really want, you know, iPhoto, for instance, is, you know, what I would call lightweight digital asset management. It does a lot of fun things, but it's not robust a database as what we have with iView. So for the guys that are really serious, really want a serious database to manage their photos, this iView software is tough stuff. It's really good.
Well, does it work like on a shared environment? So you could have like a central hub and you could have multiple people accessing it?
Yeah, you can.
That's key.
Actually, in the new version that they have, they've even built in some new features that so you can, work with clients easily. You can, for instance, have a notepad And, you know, so you can make notes back and forth to each other in this shared database environment. You can create little standalone outputs out of the database that, that people can play on, you know, can view on Mac or Windows platform. You know, so it, it's for instance, for art directors and for serious photographers, people who need to work with a lot of images and also need to work in a collaborative environment. It's very robust.
And it's been shipping a while, so it has a lot of, should we say, fixes to it.
Yeah, well, you know, and, you know, they've done a great job with it in that, you know, a lot of times, you know, software that's been around for a while gets bloated. And, you know, they've kept a real good eye on it, and they've been really good about feature creep and things like that. So, you know, what you see is something that's really powerful. And a lot of people that I know that are into serious digital asset management, you know, this software is pretty high on their list.
Now, talking about this whole management, and I guess, I don't know, we sort of drifted from our slideshow gig here.
Oh, that's all right. It's all good.
Yeah, okay, so we have, you know, because that's the problem is people get so much digital content, either photos, video, and I think iView Multi or Media Pro. Then we have, you know, the offering from Extenis has their software that does this. There's Canto that has software for digital asset management. You know, we have all these things, and they'll all actually do all kinds of media. I mean, Media Pro will do video, photo, audio files, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will.
What's like the best out of all of them? And then we have Aputure that sort of does this too, but then does other things also. And then there's Lightroom.
Yeah. Well,
so, you know, how do you pick one of the, I mean, we only have about a minute left here. We should probably talk about this on another show too. But, you know, as a quick pick, where's a good place for someone to go if they've outgrown iPhoto and they want to actually try to store this stuff and keep a reasonable track of what's where and what?
Yeah. If you're a photographer only dealing with still pictures, Aputure is still my favorite. And I'm running Aputure on a MacBook Pro 17-inch right now with 2 gigs of RAM.
Oh,
nice.
And
that's
nice.
Scott wants that computer.
Yeah, hey.
It's nice. It's nice. It's serious nice. And this is mainly, you know, for you keeping track of your stuff. If you're got to keep track of all sorts of different type of media and more of, you know, running like a production art department or something, I'd go with iView. Those are my two favorites.
Wow.
And Lightroom, we just got to wait and see. I mean, I'm very high on Lightroom, but I don't know what it's going to be when it grows up yet.
Yeah, so true. Derek, we got 20 seconds. How do we get more information on your lovely, cool podcast and your great website?
Yeah, go to thedigitalstory.com. And if you're interested in being part of Slideshow Showcase, just enter Slideshow in the search field and you get all sorts of good stuff. You find out about it.
Cool there. You can look forward to his podcast every Tuesdays. Check it out. TheDigitalStory.com. We'll be right back.
If you think all batteries are the same, listen to this. When Bon Jovi goes on stage anywhere in the world, the battery that powers their wireless microphones is always a Duracell. So whether it's 50,000 fans or just you and your CD player, it just has to work. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by OSX FAQ, the number one site on the web for information about Mac OS X. You can check it out at www.osxfaq.com. Cool information there from Mac Minute, Mac Update, Apple Developer Connection, things about WWDC, all the cool new Apple hot deals of the week, you name it, everything's there. Check it out, osxfaq.com. So we've had a pretty interesting lineup on today's show.
Yeah, this has been a pretty interesting show. A lot of stuff for this. We got Mac Tech Magazine that came on. Looks like a great magazine. I had described it before, hadn't seen much of it, you know, recently, but looks really great. We've got our new news person here, which we get the daily news from.
Yeah, all the other cats doing Daily Mac News can just pack it up and go home, brother, because I'm telling you, the hurt's coming. Okay? So we got that deal cooking. We got our new executive producer and host of the Inside Mac Daily program, Dean Orlando, as in Disneyland, like Orlando.
Ah.
Cool stuff.
We knew there was a Disney tie into this.
You got to love Disney, brother. You ever been to Orlando?
No, I haven't actually.
Really? It's an interesting place.
I'm sure it is.
There's bugs.
Big bugs.
There's more bugs.
Actually, no, there's not. There was more.
There's a lot of bugs in Florida.
Bugs in Texas.
And humanity.
Oh, bugs. Yeah, okay. They got.
You
they
don't
got
mind you want to know what I found in my in the shower. I'm staying at the Embassy Suites in Texas, okay?
It was something out of a sci-fi film, I imagine.
Dude. I swear it was the size of a pack of smokes, dude. It was some bug with antenna like 4 inches long. It must have been a cockroach, I think. I don't know what it was, dude, but it was big.
Yeah, it was just probably, you know, chomping on some toxic waste somewhere and got really big. That was it. It was a small bug at one time. It just
I'm serious.
Grew huge.
Either way, Orlando's a great place. We go to Disney there a lot. I go there six, seven, 8 times a year.
Yeah.
I'm going in a couple weeks.
Oh, that's going to be great.
I'll be
a
week in Orlando.
Got to ride the big Expedition Everest.
I need to go on Everest.
Everest, yes.
That's a cool ride.
That's been like one of the finest rides they've put together in years. Yeah, really, really nice. Got 30-foot tall, full life-size Yeti, you know, coming at you. It looks great.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. And then, you know, we got a trip coming up here to got some stuff going. I got to deal with at Disney, so I'm going to Disney here.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun. And then, like I said, Dina needs to go to Orlando.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
But not during the summertime.
No, you will not see me there in the summer.
It's just a little warm, a little toasty down there.
Yeah, I was in Memphis earlier in the week, and it was about 86 and about 90% humidity. And then it started raining, and then thunderstorm, and then lightning, and then the sirens went off for the tornado stuff. That was interesting.
Yeah.
But Orlando's even more humid than that.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be there in July, I'll tell you. Mm. I've been there in September, and it's warm.
It's warm.
You know
it's
warm when you walk outside and your glasses fog up.
Yeah.
Literally, you can't see.
Yeah. Where you open up the window to your hotel room and you can't see because it's just steam. You just see nothing but steam.
Yeah, but it's a fun place. You know, you got to love the swamps.
Yeah. It is. It is a really fun place. I mean, there's some beautiful places in Florida. Florida is a great place.
Yeah. As long as you don't try to get elected there.
Oh, let's not go there.
But it's a great place to do. And then, we had a cool show today. We had Philip Hodges on talking about the digital post-production news stuff. We had Sammy Levin on with his cool Mac picks. We had Neil Tichton, the publisher of MacTech Magazine. You know, they did a whole revamp of their whole gig, so it's something new. You can go check that out over at MacTech.com. We had Derek Story on, the author of the Digital Story podcast, produced by Inside Media Networks.
Yes.
Cool stuff there. Derek's just happened, got a bunch of books out, doing his podcast deal. It's if you're in a photographer, he's got a great instructional type deal every week. It's about a half hour, 23 to 35 minutes.
Yeah.
And all produced in Pro Tools. Mm-hmm. And you can check that out. Cool stuff there at thedigitalstory.com. And then we talked about this very cool movie, The Inconvenient Truth, and how inconvenient
it
might be.
Gotta see it. Yeah.
Back to Florida. Again, everything ties back to Florida. Miami.
Oh, yeah. There's this film with like the green, if the global warming continues, Florida will be just this little teeny island. You know, really small.
Wow.
It's pretty great. It's a great film. You gotta see it.
Yeah. And I'd like to thank the sponsors of the Inside Mac radio program, Micromat, DVD-XDV, MCE Technologies, our media partners, the Popular Photography Magazine, American Photographer Magazine, Mac Update, Creator Pro, Printing for Less, Digital Production Buzz, and of course, the official news source of the Inside Mac Daily Show, Mac Minute. Find out more information at InsideMacRadio.com.